and the altar opens again.
Mm-hmm.
We can still return, we can continue when the altar opens, isn't it?
We could.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 6 o'clock here at 5. When was next program?
Next program at 5 was supposed to be Bharatanatyam. But we are flexible now. We can.
Yeah. And in the evening, in the dusk time, what is then?
7 o'clock was Maharati supposed to be. At 8 o'clock fireworks and 8:30 prasadam.
Yeah. So we will now. Thank you very much, Vedantakrit. Bleib mir aber noch im Ohr, okay. Wenn ich. So just so that you all know, it's very important when we are the festival to know how we are sailing. We will. Now have different speakers doing the Narsingha Katha and churning the nectar, and then you might like to participate all the time, or sometimes you might have other things to go, bathroom activities and so on. But at 7 o'clock, then the great event takes place in the temple room. The great event is that Lord Narsinghadev appears during that time. See, when it's not day and when it's not night, when it's the Abenddämmerung, the dusk time. So at that time you should make sure that you can be here in the temple for the last concluding part of the festival, which will... there will be an arati and a firework, and then we will serve the prasadam to our devotees, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Then you will have prasadam. So until that time, we have this time where we can hear and absorb more about Lord Narsinghadev to our heart's content. So we have requested our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj to host this. I'm saying this because, with your permission, I just need 20 minutes and then I come. I'm just coming.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for introducing the program and guiding us. It is like you have put the boat in the water, pushed it away in the shore, and all we have to do is stay on course. That's or get lost, whatever might happen. So I was also asked by Dina Sarana Mataji to open up this Narsingha Katha. And... I would like to begin with Lord Chaitanya. This morning I shortly mentioned how Lord Chaitanya became totally ecstatic upon hearing the thousand names of Vishnu. And the name of Lord Narsinghadev was included. And upon hearing the name of Narsinghadev, Lord Chaitanya just became so overwhelmed. All the hairs on his body stood on end, and he just completely became practically Lord Narsinghadev. He ran through the streets holding a club in his hand, and people were running in all directions. People were just running away in great fear. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya manifested his mood as Lord Narsinghadev. Afterwards, when the Lord saw that people were so overwhelmed and so scared of him, then he sort of got out of that ecstatic mood and felt embarrassed. He felt guilty that people had been so afraid, and he gave up that spirit of ecstasy. Furthermore, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and travels, we also find how Lord Chaitanya, on his journey through South India, comes to that Jyada Narsingha Kshetra, to also known as Simachalam. In that place, the Lord takes darshan of Lord Nrisingadev. Of course, we understand that both lords are taking darshan of each other. The question is, who is taking whose darshan, as that is transpiring, that is clear. And who is eager to see who? And what is the difference between the two lords? When Lord Chaitanya is seeing Lord Nrisingadev, we understand that he is Lord Nrisingadev, yet he is acting as a devotee. In the same time, we understand that wherever Lord Chaitanya is, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is known as Avatari, or the one within whom all other avatars are also present. So whenever Lord Chaitanya is there, Lord Nrisingadev is also there. So when Lord Chaitanya was taking darshan of Lord Nrisingadev in Simachalam, he began to offer prayers, and he offered the particular prayer that we are finding here marked on the wall. He chanted that prayer, Shina Shinga, Jaina Shinga, Jai Jaina Shinga, Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Pringa. So, it's very wonderful that that we are here chanting the same prayer, invoking the same mood. We are very much here with Lord Chaitanya. There is no doubt about it. Lord Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma. And in that day of Brahma, we may know there are many cycles, many cycles of four yugas. And Lord Krishna appears in the 28th cycle of four yugas, in the Dwapara Yuga, then followed by Lord Chaitanya. So, when Lord Chaitanya appears in this Kali Yuga, he touches everything. The entire yuga becomes touched. Therefore, even all the deities that are somehow or other manifest in this age are also touched by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, in one sense, we are worshipping Lord Nrisinga Chaitanya. That is really who we are worshipping, Nrisinga Chaitanya. Lord Nrisingadev is more merciful than ever before at this particular age, because he's touched by the spirit of Lord Chaitanya. In this way, we are worshipping in the same way as Lord Chaitanya did. Same prayers. We are chanting. We are chanting the holy name. Particularly, the essence of all our worship is the kirtan. We felt like that in the last few hours. Right? Although there was an amazing abhishek. I mean, something out of this world, really. Still, the center was the kirtan and the deity. And the kirtan was the connection, undoubtedly. We are, in this way, always remembering Lord Nrisinga Chaitanya, the special merciful feature of Lord Chaitanya. In this prayer, Sri Nrisinga, Sri, is referring to the unlimited opulences of the Lord, also to Lakshmi Devi, who is always the consort of the Lord. Nrisinga, half man, half lion. Jai stands for victory, the victory of Lord Nasinga, Praladesha. Isha means the Supreme Lord. He who is the Lord of Prahlad, the Lord and Master of Prahlad. Prahlad, Srila Prabhupada says, Prahlad means the original state of consciousness. He says, Prahlad means that state of consciousness which is full of the original transcendental bliss. Prakrista rupena alad. Or complete happiness in its full-fledged form. Complete. That is Prahlad. Prahlad is always absorbed in happiness. He is not just aloof. He is not just abhayam. He is not just fearless. But he is absorbed in happiness. And it is on the strength of his happiness that he is manifesting this fearlessness. It's not that he is dhira, that he is sober and unaffected. Prahlad, rather, is ecstatic. Prahlad is absorbed in deep ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord. And it is that deep ecstatic love that carries him. And that makes him simply forget the fears of the material world. This morning, we heard how Hiranyakasipu was ripped to threads or pieces or whatever way you want to describe it. And subsequently, the descriptions of the pastime came to an end. After that, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described how Lord Nrisingadev was still exceedingly angry. Even after killing Hiranyakasipu, his anger was not at all subdued. Still, he was burning, literally burning. And it is described that the entire assembly of all the demigods were present. And no one dared to come close to the Lord. Even Lakshmi Devi, his personal consort, was not ready to go before the Lord. And in this way, everyone was overwhelmed by the sheer power and overwhelming anger of the Lord. So, Lord Brahma, being the most intelligent living being in the entire universe, I was thinking, let Prahlad deal with this. Prahlad, 5 years old, was pushed forward by all these powerful demigods. And Prahlad was the one who was chosen to offer prayers to the Lord. So Prahlad immediately said that, who am I? All these great personalities are here, the demigods, who are very expert in offering prayers, and who am I? So Prahlad's humility came out very much in his prayers. All throughout, actually, he keeps that very humble mood. He reminds everyone that he has taken birth in a family of demons due to his own previous sinful activities. He takes responsibility and says, yes, therefore I'm fallen. And he considers himself in this way. Also, when Lord Nrisingadev at one point is ready to offer blessings to him and give him basically all realizations, whatever he could desire, then Prahlad is simply saying, but I'm simply, whatever I am so by the mercy of my spiritual master. Therefore, I simply wish to continue to be the servant of my spiritual master and nothing else. In this way, we see Prahlad's spirit of humility coming out very strongly. Prahlad also very strongly speaks out against all the entanglement of material life, which he so thoroughly has witnessed from nearby. And he explains how his father, who had everything, was reduced to nothing in a moment. And in this way, these prayers of Prahlad give us really our basic orientation in spiritual life, and are therefore very important. As this morning, the theme presented was faith in the protection of Lord Nrisimhadev, not only for Prahlad, but for all devotees. We can see how in these prayers of Prahlad, we can see how we can qualify to be protected, and what attitude we should have, an attitude of humility, an attitude of understanding that simply endeavoring for sense gratification is a network of endless entanglement in a cycle of birth and death, and that the real goal of life is simply to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. That is the mood. So Srila Prabhupada taught that very same mood, exactly the same. And this is so wonderful that we can see that everything in this transcendental movement is consistent. It's not changing. We now are meant to follow exactly the same path, the same standards as Prahlad. It hasn't changed. Lord Chaitanya is worshipping the same Nrisimhadev, the same prayer we are chanting now. In this way, simply the same process is working now for us. And therefore, we find great shelter in this worship. So hearing all the different aspects of these, of the pastimes of Prahlad, of Lord Nrisimhadev, Hiranyakasipu, we can get so much insight. A last thing I wanted to mention is about Lord Nrisimhadev, that he appears to be a very fierce form. There is a painting, a full painting of the Lord who has just ripped out the intestines of Hiranyakasipu, still lying on his lap with blood from the abdomen and then the intestines hanging around his neck and blood is dripping. Fearsome teeth and so on. It appears ghastly. But we should know that actually this particular very fierce form of the Supreme Lord is a manifestation of the soft-heartedness of the Lord. Because after all, it was out of genuine love for his devotee that the Lord took that form. Therefore, actually when we see this form of Lord Nrisimhadev, the devotee can understand that he's very soft-hearted. He's actually very soft-hearted. Therefore, we are never afraid of Lord Nrisimhadev, because we know he is actually, the Lord is very much inclined towards his devotee. So that is also part of my meditation in dealing with Lord Nrisimhadev. So then, I guess I've broken the ice on the Nrisimhakatha. I would like to ask Kripa Mahaprabhu then to carry on.
Kadambakanana Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. I went to the birthplace of Krishna in Mathura. And there's a beautiful temple there. And devotees walk around the temple three times and then we go in. And as you go around this temple, on the walls are painted on the outside for all the public to see verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as I was looking at these translations, I was thinking that they were vaguely familiar. And then I got to one that was Chewing the Chewed. That famous verse that Prahlad Maharaj says, the famous Chewing the Chewed. Puna punas charvita charvananam. And I realized that here in letters this big was the translation from Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam of the transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. And suddenly I felt very proud that here was the words of my spiritual master, not only here in Mathura, of course, Prabhupada lived in Vrindavan, but painted in big letters on the side of the wall for all the world to see. And I told my friends that were with me at the time, I said, Prabhupada has made not only Lord Krishna famous, but he's made all of Krishna's devotees famous. Prabhupada has made Prahlad Maharaj famous beyond India. In fact, Prabhupada brought us everything. Perhaps Prabhupada could have been excused if he'd just introduced us to Krishna or something like that. But Prabhupada brought us an entire culture. We know a great deal about so many important persons who are related to Krishna or one of his incarnations through Srila Prabhupada. So I was feeling quite proud at that point. And I still do. Prabhupada gave a series of talks on the transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, and it was made into a small book. And years later, I got the opportunity to do a bit of meditation on that book because I was stuck out in Africa, and we thought, what book would Africans appreciate? And we thought, well, why not explain how God comes half man, half lion? Maybe that would be particularly relevant. And so we translated this book into the Ethiopian language, which if you look at the Ethiopian language, it just looks like, a child has drawn some squiggles on a wall. But here in that ancient language, which goes back many thousands of years, for people on the other side of the world, was Prabhupada's teachings about Prahlad Maharaj. And Prabhupada thought that Prahlad Maharaj's prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev were of such great benefit that he often spoke about them. Now, the worship of Lord Nrisimhadev has, as you know, a great history. There's a great parampara of worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev, not just in other sampradayas, but in our sampradaya also. And sometimes people say, but isn't it Radha Krishna we should be worshipping? Isn't it Gaura Nithai we should be worshipping? Yes, that's all right, my friend. That's all right. But you should understand that if you worship Lord Nrisimhadev, you're in very, very good company. Prabhupada himself said that I've introduced these prayers so that you can sing them for the protection of the health of the spiritual master. And of course, at that point, he meant himself. But when we sing these prayers, it's not only that we think of ourselves and our protection, but all of us who are initiated, we should be thinking, may Lord Nrisimhadev please protect my guru, and may Lord Nrisimhadev please protect my guru's mission. And of course, your guru's mission is whatever his share of Prabhupada's mission is within this world. Because our spiritual masters in ISKCON need protection. And if all of the disciples pray for Lord Nrisimhadev to protect them and their preaching work, then this is a very good way of carrying out Prabhupada's original intentions for which he introduced the Nisringadeva prayers. Now, we sing those prayers practically as often as we sing Prabhupada Pranams, Panchatattva Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The prayers to Lord Nisringadeva are the first, one of the first prayers that you learn when you come to the Hare Krishna movement. And there's a reason for that, is that the reason is that the worship of Lord Nisringadeva goes so well along with the prayers to Radha and Krishna. I said that we were in good company. Back in 1933, I wasn't alive then, but back in 1933, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master sent his disciples out of India. And it was the first time that Krishna consciousness was coming outside India. So he wanted them to be protected. So he ordered them, every single day, you chant these prayers to Lord Nisringadeva, so that your preaching work will be protected. In England, and what was the other country they came to? Germany. That's right. So the first two countries in which the prayers to Lord Nisringadeva were chanted on a daily basis by ambassadors of Srila Prabhupada's guru were England and Germany. So I thought that would be kind of interesting for you. So here we are, keeping the tradition going. There were some pretty important people that got the teachings of Lord Chaitanya back in 1933 here in Germany. There's lots of photographs. I have an old diary that goes back to 1933-34, and it tells of how these initial missionaries preached in different places in Germany, Berlin and Munich and Leipzig, and different places like that. Before them, of course, Bhaktivinod Thakur, he installed Lakshmi Nisringadeva in the newly built temple, which was in a place called, well, it's in Mayapur, but just off to one side is a place called Shiva Doba. And in this place, for the protection of all that was going to take place in the dam, he installed Lakshmi Nisringa. And you can still see Lakshmi Nisringa there. As you will if you go to the place where that where Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote the beautiful song, the Gaura Arti, that we sing every single night. That Mahaprakash, that great revelation of Lord Chaitanya, where he reveals his eternal identity to each of his associates, in that place, that is Srivas Thakur's Angan, his courtyard. In Bengal, every house has a courtyard. And so he would worship Lord Nisringadeva daily. So in that place, Nisringadeva worship was going on, and that is where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could have chosen many places, but he chose the place where Lord Nisringa was worshipped in order to reveal his Maha Prakash. Now, if you go there today, you'll see Panchatattva in the background and Lord Nisringadeva in the foreground. Still worshipped there today, 500 years later. Of course, as Kadambakanana Maharaj was explaining, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared himself to be non-different from Lord Nisringadeva, which is very interesting. They were feeding the deity of Lord Nisringadeva, and the offerings were, of course, being eaten by the Lord in a different form. You can go to Nandagram in Vrindavan, and there you will be able to see the deity of Lord Nisringadeva that Nanda Maharaj himself worshipped in order to protect Krishna. Halfway down the hill, you get to the top of the hill from Norway, and you go halfway down the hill, and there's a little temple to Lord Nisringadeva. And the last time I went there, there was an old man caring for the deity. He was about 115 years old. So people take the worship of Lord Nrsimhadev very seriously. And one day, Vedanta Krit will also be 115. And he'll also still be here, I'm sure. Mother Yashoda, she used to tell Krishna the story of Lord Nrsimhadev. This is described by Rupa Goswami in a beautiful book of verses called the Padyavali. And in this Padyavali, it describes how Mother Yashoda is telling the story of Lord Nrsimhadev. And when she gets to the bit where Lord Nrsimhadev comes out of the pillar, Krishna's mouth goes like this, and his little eyes go like that. So here's little baby Krishna. He's also frightened of Lord Nrsimhadev as he's hearing this story. Sometimes people who have, we get a lot of visitors to our temple. And one time in London, we have this big painting of Lord Nrsimhadev hanging on the wall. And at Bhaktivedanta Manor. One time I was guiding a person who was from a famous punk rock group. And punk rockers are not really known for being sweet, sensitive types. They have, fierce lyrics and fierce music. But this person was a little bit older and he was a little bit tired of being a famous punk rocker, yelling and screaming. And he wanted a bit of peace. So he came to Bhaktivedanta Manor, and he was looking around, and he saw the picture of Srila Prabhupada with his halo, and he said, "Oh, that's nice." And then he saw a picture of Panchatattva, and I said, "Well, these are the..." And just explained. He said, "Oh, that's nice." Then he came to the altar and saw Radha Gokulananda and Sita Ram, and he said, "Oh, that's beautiful." And then he came over to the picture of Lord Nrsimhadev, and he said, "Oh, my God." He said, "What on earth is that?" He said, "Surely." And I tried to explain, "Well, this is another feature of God." And he said, "But surely God isn't cruel. Look at the blood. Look at the guts." He said, "Surely God is all merciful." He said, "Why are all the other paintings nice, but this one's not nice?" I tried to explain, "Well, it's a question of opinion. And it's very, very difficult for British people and very difficult for people who are born in, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, or Western European backgrounds to understand these things, because we're used to the notion that God is my servant. This is the notion, that God comes into this world. And although he lives within this world for a short space of time, he's basically my servant. I pray to him. He delivers what I need. And he has a face that's kind and a demeanor that's kind. And so when they come to someone who looks as if something else is going on, they find it very difficult to understand. So Prabhupada said that when a materialist looks at the form of Lord Nrsimhadev, he becomes fearful. He becomes fearful because deep down he knows that perhaps I've done something wrong, and perhaps God is also a fierce judge as well. He said, but actually they should be fearful of the world that they're trying to enjoy. If you're fearful of the world that you're trying to enjoy, Prabhupada said, the only problem with my disciples is that they're not afraid of Maya. But otherwise, they're very nice disciples, very nice boys and girls, but the only problem is they're not afraid of Maya. So he said, if you're afraid of the material world, if you have a healthy respect for the possibility that you might become deviated on your spiritual path, then the form of Lord Nrsimhadev is very, very welcome. Very, very welcome. And he said, and actually you should understand that he's just as affectionate as any other form of Krishna. And Prabhupada gave an example. He said, when Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, is he in this pillar? Prabhupada said, Prahlad Maharaj turned and he looked at the pillar and he said, Lord Nrsingadev winked. He winked. What is German for winked?
Zwinken, Augenzwinken.
He Augenzwinken. He winked at Prahlad. And then Prahlad turned to his father and said, yes, he is. He's in the pillar. Vedanta Deshika, another nice quote, because he's a great devotee of Lord Nrsingadev that lived back in the 1200s. He said that the lioness, she can be very affectionate to her cubs, but at the same time, she's looking around to see if there is any prey that she can hunt. So in the same way, Lord Nrsingadev is very affectionate to his devotees, but at the same time, he's very conscious of anyone who wants to offend his devotees. Prabhupada said that the Lord is the giver of all things that we need. He's the bestower of all gifts, but at the same time, he's the protector as well. So, because he has a dual function, of course he has four hands, two hands carry items for blessing his devotees, two hands carry items for dispatching with those who are not his devotees and who are opposed to him. So he says sometimes he comes to protect and benedict, and sometimes he comes to kill. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Maharaj was saying, used to like to hear the story of Lord Nrsingadev over and over again. Not once, not twice, but all through his time in Jagannath Puri, he used to ask Gadadhar Pandit, who could sing the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam in eight different melodies, he used to ask him to please recite two stories. One was a story of Dhruva, and one was a story of Lord Nrsingadev. Over and over again, these were his favorite stories. Prabhupada used to also like the story of Nrsingadev, and used to like it when devotees would perform the play for him. And he never used to get tired. He would never get tired of hearing the story of Lord Nrsingadev. At one time in Vrindavan, devotees had arranged a play. Prabhupada liked plays, didn't he, Paravida? Prabhupada liked to watch plays. Even though they were done by amateurs, even though there wasn't any props, even though there might not have been any lights, and there certainly wasn't any Bollywood singing and dancing, but just the story plainly told of the Lord and his incarnations was a wonderful thing for Prabhupada. So the devotees were telling the story of Lord Nrsingadev. And there's a pillar in the room, like in the Vrindavan temple, and they'd made a bamboo fencing around it. And of course, Prabhupada knew the story. He knew that at some point in the story that the Lord was going to come jumping out of a pillar. He knew that they'd built the Vrindavan temple with a pillar. And all he had to do was look a few feet and see that the pillar had a big fence and was wobbling occasionally. And somebody must have been behind there. But at the same time, at the point in the play when Lord Nrsingadev comes jumping out of the pillar, Prabhupada himself jumps. And his eyes go wide like this. And then he smiles. So how is it that Prabhupada himself can be afraid of Lord Nrsingadev coming out of the pillar when he knows the story? He told us the story. And the pillar's right in front of him. It's because the story is Navayovanam. It's ever fresh. Tomorrow you could have another Nrsingadev appearance day and you would enjoy it just as much. It's ever fresh. Once a year, I'm afraid, my dear Prabhus, is not enough. And that's why there will be more festivals here in Singhachalam.
And Kripamai Prabhu will come.
And I will come. Prabhupada told us to distribute books, we know that, to distribute prasadam, to have festivals and have deity worship. Prabhupada had another unique scheme for spreading Krishna consciousness, and he told this to Gurudas Swami when he was his servant in 1975 at the Krishna Balaram temple. Gurudas Swami then came to England, where I had the good fortune to travel with him. And he said, you want to know a story? I said, yes, tell me a story. He said, Prabhupada said we could spread Krishna consciousness by distributing Nisringadev masks. I said, what did he mean? He said, I don't know. He said, but we can distribute Nisringadev masks. He said, they will be very popular. Everybody will wear them. And they will all be conscious of Nisringadev. I said, oh, that's interesting. So here's an item for the shop in the corridor there.
We're going to do it.
Okay. Finally.
I think they wore them. Devotees wore them on Harinam.
They wore them on Harinam.
I think Gurudas tells that.
Really?
I can't say for sure, but as I remember in Gurudas Prabhu's book, what's it called?
Wit and Wisdom.
The Wit and Wisdom of Srila Prabhupada. I think he says that they asked Srila Prabhupada, could they wear such mask on Harinam? And he said, yes, why not? So they were doing for some time.
Well, I suppose I could finish there. That's a good that's a good point to finish. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, you've gone.
Okay.
So, Kripa Mai took it really like a long way further down the road and very nice. We're definitely still on track after Sachidananda Maharaj pushed us into the waters. Meanwhile, and it's still summer on the shore, but we will catch him. Meanwhile, Mother Dina Sarana became more and more inspired, and she made many notes now and is going to reveal something more to us.
Thank you. Don't you want to let Krishna Kshetra say something first? Later, after. Yeah, thank you very much for all these inspiring thoughts. And as Kadamba Kanana Swami said, I made a few notes. In the 36 years that I've been in this movement now, we also have had quite a few encounters with Lord Nisringadev. And I will, in a short little story, tell you a few things. But one thing I would like to pick up is when Kadamba Kanana Swami was telling about Lord Nisringadev, Lord Chaitanya, and hearing the pastimes of Lord Nisringadev, and Lord Chaitanya couldn't help displaying the moods of Lord Nisringadev. I remember Gopunim this year, my husband Chakravarti was invited in Marburg and gave a class there, and he was talking about Lord Nisringadev's appearance. And one point he made was, as Maharaj said, Lord Chaitanya comes once in a day of Lord Brahma. And this is a long, long, long time. This is 400,000 years, I believe. So now, if we would be scientists and make a statistic, we would take a piece of paper and we would make a line, and this would be 400,000 years. Yes, you agree? Yes. And this is the period of time. Now, Lord Chaitanya appeared here, somewhere on this line, on this time frame. Srila Prabhupada appeared . If you see this line, he appeared, practically speaking, at the same time. And we
also.
So this is just to show sometimes we lament we didn't meet Srila Prabhupada or Lord Chaitanya. If only I would have had all this. But there's no excuse anymore, as we can see. This is the blessings of our lives. Even though we are so fallen and so disqualified still, as this shows. This is one point I wanted to make. Then something else I wanted to talk about is I wanted to thank Maharaj for the kirtan, the example he gave was Prahlad and the kirtan, but really it is, I must say, this kirtan is meant for a person. And since this person is for us available in the form of the deity, actually this is, like we would say, two sides of the same coin. On one side we have the kirtan for Lord Nisringadev in this particular case, and we reciprocate with the Lord in the form of his murti, and the Lord reciprocates with us as the murti to us. And this is how we have this kirtan. We would not be able to maintain a kirtan for so many hours if it wasn't dedicated to a person, and this person wouldn't reciprocate with us. It would not be possible. So, and the result of this is what Maharaj mentioned, that this name of Prahlad is this consciousness, I suppose, that is creating through this process of chanting and reciprocating with the deity. This is what's happening. So there's three elements there that take place for this to happen, and this is why this blessings and the feeling that of ecstasy we have is coming from there. I wanted to ask Kripa Maya Prabhu, this picture of Nisringadev that you described, is this an original painting? The original painting per se? No. A copy of? And I believe, I'm not sure if I'm right, but I believe that this picture is right there. Right there.
That's the original.
That's the original.
No.
It's not? I was told it was. It's not. So, never mind.
Sorry.
I was hoping for...
Sorry to spoil the fun, but...
excuse me?
No.
I asked these days, and I was told it is original. Well,
that's
so.
That's how legends develop, isn't it?
Yes, well... anyway, it doesn't matter. We're still...
yeah, yes.
Another thing I wanted to mention... because you said the Prahlad, you talked about Prahlad's play and all this in the Gurukula in New Vrindavan when I spent a few years. For one whole year, we used to perform this play of Nisringadev with the children. And one of these children was playing Prahlad Maharaj for one whole year. And somehow or other, at the end of the year was Christmas, and most of the children of Gurukula left the Gurukula. And the evening meal was brought to the Gurukula, and because it was only little children, normally it would come in a big bucket like this with a lid, but this time it came in an open bucket with hot milk, and one of these children was playing and fell into this bucket. And it happened to be the child who played Prahlad for one whole year. And the shock was, of course, tremendous, and the child was under shock. The parents were completely under shock. But the mother of the child somehow was able to get to his senses, slapped the child and told the child, look, I don't know what Krishna has in mind for you, but if you're not going to live long, rather than screaming, you better just chant Hare Krishna. And this child was 2 years old, and started chanting, Nisringadev, Nisringadev, Nisringadev. This child was burned 50% from here to here and survived like anything, and said after this child came back from the hospital and saw the pictures from the plays, said, believe me, it is just a matter of chanting the holy name of Lord Nisringadev. Mm-hmm.
Mother Dina Sharana Ki Jai. Next is Krishna Kshetra Prabhu.
Let's see. maybe first thing we should do is all of us raise our hands high in the air, like you're doing yoga. Ooh, and stretch, 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 and say after me, Sri Nrisingha Jai Nrisingha Jaya Jai Nrisingha.
Sri
Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa.
Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa.
Stretch. Shri Narsingha Jai Narsingha Jaya Jai Narsingha.
Shri Narsingha Jai Narsingha Jaya Jai Narsingha.
Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa.
Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa.
Stretch. Shri Narsingha Jai Narsingha Jaya Jai Narsingha.
Shri Narsingha Jai Narsingha Jaya Jai Narsingha.
Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringha.
Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringha.
Very good. So we're reaching to the sky for Narsingadev, for his mercy. But we also know that Narsingadev is everywhere. We hear this from the prayer that we chant, as we heard. Practically as much as we chant our other prayers. Ito Narsingha Parato Narsingho. Yato Yato Yami Tato Narsingha. Itaha means here, and parataha means there. Yataha means, yataha yataha means wherever. Yami, I go, wherever I go. Tataha, there is Narsingadev. So sometimes we sing these prayers and we just kind of sing them and chant them, and it sounds probably to people who have never heard, imagine for a moment what this sounds like to people who have never heard these verses. It must sound kind of strange. Ito Narsingha Parato Narsingha, something different. So anyway, it's nice to remember what it means. Narsingadev is here, Narsingha is there. Wherever I go, there is Narsingha. We say, of course, that Narsingadev is especially present in his deity form, and that's why we're all here celebrating this festival. I like to think back to, we've heard a little about history of worship of Narsingadev. I like to think back to the beginnings of this place and of the worship of Narsingadev here. Many of you know this story, some of you don't, so I thought maybe we should review it a little bit. As soon as this property was acquired, that was in 1979. How many of you were in this incarnation in 1979? Oh, a few of you. Okay. How many of you were not yet in this avatar in 1979? Uh-huh. About 50-50. So in 1979 we acquired this property, and the question immediately came, so who is going to be the deity, the main deity of this place? And at that time, because this was, we were very conscious of the fact that the location here was geographically, politically, very close to the border of what used to be called Czechoslovakia and is now Czech Republic. And because that was part of what we used to call the Iron Curtain, and because if you got too close to that Iron Curtain, if you just wanted to take a hike, wander around the hills or something, Within moments, they would be coming with dogs and guns and maybe helicopters to keep you away. So there was a political situation which made us think, well, maybe it's a good idea if the Lord comes to this place in his fierce form as Nrsingadev. So Ashtarata Prabhu was dispatched to India very soon after that to get to arrange to have a deity made in South India that should be 2 meters tall and should be with Prahlad on his lap. Somehow we had this idea to have Prahlad on the lap. 2 meters, that was the plan, yes. So, dutifully and enthusiastically, he made this arrangement. And not more than, those of you who have done any shopping in India for something which you need to get made and then sent, in 1979, 1980, now things might be a little more efficient, maybe a lot more efficient. But in those days, if you wanted to get something made or done, you basically were, it was best if you just placed your order and then more or less forgot about it. Because, you know, you don't want to waste time being in anxiety because it's going to be a long time before you see the result. Between, in this case, between the day Ashtarada Prabhu left Germany to go to India and the day the deity arrived here on the farm in 2 big boxes was 14 months. And when he arrived, we were all quite surprised. We were thunderstruck. No, we were surprised, and we didn't quite know what to think. But there was one thing obvious. Oh, Nrsingadev is here, and he wants to be worshipped, and he's not wasting time. He's coming, and he's, you called for me, so here I am. So where's my temple? Well, there was no temple. This building was a barn, which was falling apart. The roof was caving in, and it would be another 2 years before the temple would stand as it now stands. So we unpacked him, and we parked him into a room in what's now an apartment just across over here. And this room became, how shall I say, became a kind of atelier for preparing the deity's ornaments and jewelry. And we didn't have anybody to do this, so I became the jeweler. I started learning some arts and crafts. We also didn't have any idea how to worship Nrsingadev. So I got it in my head that the best way to learn how to worship Nrsingadev is to go to India and go to temples where they worship Nrsingadev and ask the priests, the pujaris. So that's what I did. I made a tour. I went to Jiyada Nrsingha Kshetra because by that time we had named this place Nava Jiyada Nrsingha Kshetra. And I thought, well, it's maybe a good idea to go to that place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we heard, had the darshan of Nrsingadev and experience that place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indeed chanted Sri Nrisingha Jaya Nrisingha Jaya Jaya Nrisingha Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringha. One of the first things I learned when I went there was that nobody, but nobody in that whole area of that temple had heard of Jiyada Nrisingha Kshetra. There was Singachalam, but there was no Jiyada Nrisingha Kshetra. That's a name that we get from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Apparently it was known at the time of Krishna Das Kaviraj. So in case you're wondering why the name of this place has changed from Nava Jiyada Nrisingha Kshetra to Singachalam, this is one reason, that the place from which this is named is called Singachalam, the literally mountain hill or mountain, lion hill or lion mountain. The other reason being that some of us felt that Nava Jiyada Nrisingha Kshetra is quite a tongue twister, and we didn't want devotees to get their tongues all twisted up prior to coming here. We should have nice, tongues so that we can chant nicely Nrisingadev's prayers. They shouldn't be damaged. So we thought it's easier to say Singachalam. In the original Singachalam, I was just thinking when Maharaj mentioned how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had darshan of the deity, that either he went there on the one day of the year when the deity is actually visible. This is a special deity. The story is that this deity was unearthed by King Parurama, I believe. And when he was unearthed, Nrisingadev said, "Why have you unearthed me? I was very happily situated under the earth. It was very cool there. Here in this place, it's very hot weather. This is Andhra Pradesh, south of Puri. It can be very hot. And now, you know, this is kind of disturbing me. So what to do? Shall we bury you again?" No. Now you have, now I'm here. That wouldn't be right. But my request is that you keep me covered, head to foot, with sandalwood paste for the whole time." And then the question came, "But if we cover you constantly and completely with sandalwood paste, then how will the devotees have your darshan, O Lord?" And his answer was, "All right, on this one day, which is in April, which is also a hot time of the year, at that time you can remove the chandan. But the rest of the time, let me be covered in chandan. So if you go there now, you can have darshan of the deity, but you will see him completely covered with chandan, so thick that you don't see any features whatsoever. He looks practically like Shiva Lingam." And this Shiva, this chandan is covered with cloth. In any case, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have had darshan such that he would see the Lord as he is. On my this little journey that I took, I went further south and I came to several temples. I won't tell that whole story, but one place I came to was Yadagiri Gutta, which is north of Hyderabad. And a very nice darshan I had there, because it was a Friday afternoon, and once a week on Friday they bring out the Utsav Murti and they put him in a swing, and all the devotees, they come and they line up parallel lines opposite the deity with their offerings of coconut and dipa and incense and so on, and the priest arranges for each of them to be able to worship the deity on his swing. It was very wonderful. At the end of all of that, the devotee I was with and I wanted to catch a bus to return to Hyderabad, and it was pouring rain like I'd never seen in my life before. And we were standing in the rain because there was no cover for the bus stop. Eventually I came to Bangalore, where it was possible to meet the late Sampat Kumar Bhattacharya. This was a very nice Brahmin, Sri Vaishnava Brahmin, who was very much versed in the story of Nrisimhadev from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when I came and told my mission, he became very excited and he began reciting verse after verse after verse after verse of the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just spontaneously he recited. Sampat Kumar Bhattacharya, by the way, is the person who was commissioned by Srila Prabhupada to install the deities in our Hyderabad temple. And when I came, he very proudly had his son, I believe, go back and bring out a framed letter from Srila Prabhupada in which Prabhupada had thanked Sampat Kumar Bhattacharya for doing this installation rite. That letter, he expresses his appreciation, and as I remember, in that letter he also says the essential part of installation is the chanting of the holy name. But Sampat Kumar Bhattacharya was very, very proud of that. I mention this meeting with him because I also showed him a photograph of Nrisimhadev prior. This was still prior to his installation, so it was basically the deity as he is carved without any ornamentation, anything. I just wanted him to see, and I wanted to hear his comment on this form of Nrisimha, because the question had by that time already arisen, how is this? Is this correct from an iconographic point of view that Prahlad sits on the left knee of Nrisimhadev? Traditionally, you can say, according to the iconographic text, the Shilpa Shastra text, it would be Lakshmi Devi who sits on the left knee. This became quite a source of controversy some years later. One of our pujaris became very disturbed about this. But when I showed this to Sampat Kumar Bhattacharya, who is a very learned scholar in all of these matters of deity worship, and I asked him, is this a problem? And he looked at the photo and he showed his family and they looked and looked and he looked and he said, unusual. And I was holding my breath. Is he going to say, no, this is not proper? No, he said, but it's all right. Little unusual, but it's all right. This morning I was thinking about this point. Don't mind. I am now announcing to you. Now comes the part where I speculate. Okay? So you can turn off the tape recorders. We are now deviating from the path. No. Hopefully not. I was thinking, who is Prahlad Maharaj? In recent months, some of you know I've been in the Far East. I've been in Hong Kong. And also I've been in Taiwan. And as you probably know, Buddhism is very prominent, especially in Taiwan. There are many, many Buddhist temples. And this particular type of Buddhism, there are many, many different traditions of Buddhism, this particular type is called Mahayana Buddhism, the large vehicle. And in Mahayana Buddhism, which originated in India along with earlier traditions, they have this notion of course, Buddha, which in Chinese is simply Fo. Fo is their pronunciation of Buddha. If they hear Buddha and try to pronounce, it doesn't work, so it comes out Fo. So there's Buddha, but there are also more than one. In fact, there are many. In fact, there are countless bodhisattvas. Bodhisattvas are persons who are on the path of what they understand to be perfection. They call it nirvana. For the sake of inter-religious dialogue, one might just use the word liberation. And they are on this path, and they take a vow to not themselves attain this perfection until all living beings before them attain this perfection. In other words, attain liberation. So the idea is that the bodhisattva is a preacher and is helping others to become elevated in their spiritual life. So this got me thinking, well, what is Prahlad Maharaj if he is not also a bodhisattva? Because this is certainly his mood, and we see this demonstrated in his pastime. Well, let me take this a step further, and then you can, you know, get the cane and drag me off stage. But one of the most famous bodhisattvas in the Indian Tibetan tradition, the name is Avalokiteshvara. Avalokiteshvara means he, the Lord, who glances downwards. The implication being glancing down in a mood of compassion. And the word karuna is very important in this tradition. His iconography, by the way, is quite interesting. Sometimes he has 1,000 arms. The understanding being that he reaches out to the conditioned souls with these 1,000 arms. He also has 11 heads kind of stacked up on top of each other. Why he has 11 heads, that's another story. But what I wanted to point out is that when Avalokiteshvara gets to China, he becomes Shi. He becomes Shi. Shi becomes known as Guan Yin. And Shi is a very popular image of Bodhisattva in China, all over China. She is very popular. Now, I hope you're still with me on this. I'm getting back to our deity of Nrsingadev and why Prahlad is sitting on the left knee. Okay? Don't worry, I'm not going to say that I think that actually Prahlad is Lakshmi Devi. No, I'm not going to say that. But what I want to suggest is taking the principle of androgyny, which is a way of expressing the idea that, in fact, persons in general... Well, let's start with the Lord. The Lord has a male and a female aspect. Essentially, or originally, we would say Radha Krishna. And as we know, Radha Krishna are one who then separate and then unite again to become Chaitanya. Right? So, Prahlad, we could say, also has his feminine side. And I'm not saying by that that actually Prahlad is gay. I'm also not saying that. But what I'm saying is that often in religious traditions all over the world, there is a sense that compassion is embodied in a feminine personality. In the West, we have Maria, Mother Mary, and people go to her to pray for her grace, for her mercy, for her compassion. So I just want to suggest that there is a hint of this quality in Prahlad, here in Prahlad Nrsingadev, which may be hidden, but is also present. Now, I wanted to finish by saying that Jiyada Nrsinga, or Singachalam, in India is what scholars would call a regional sacred place. I've been giving a series of lectures, a course in Hong Kong on sacred geography of India. And one of the things that we talk about is this notion you have in India that there are regional sacred places and there are pan-Indian sacred places. So Jagannath Puri, for example, is a pan-Indian sacred site. People from all over India will go there. Badrinath is a pan-Indian, the Char Dham, but also other places. And what I think is interesting, and this brings us into the picture, is that Nrsingadev has come here, and I think we can agree that Nrsingadev is not just regional, and he's not just pan something or other. He's international. So we have here a sacred place of Lord Nrsingadev, of international significance. People come here from all over Germany, all over Europe, all over the world. And we can appreciate that we are, as we just saw from Mother Dina Sharana, part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, essentially. We are participating in his appearance. Incidentally, Prabhupada said once, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared within the memory of us all. Only 500 years ago, that means within our memory, within our cultural memory, within the wider cultural memory. So from that perspective, also, we are all participating in an event in a place which is more central than even the original Nrsinga Kshetra Singachalam place. So that's very nice, I think. What do you think? Yes, that's good. Okay, so Shri Shri Prahlad Lakshmi Nrsingadeva Ki.
Of course, touching on the march with this 20 minutes has really cheated us. we can do different things. We can send someone after him. The darshan, I've just been informed, will be at 5 o'clock, and I don't know exactly what other items there are on the program, but I heard there is a Bharatanatyam dance planned, and all that has to happen before the Maharati, and then there's Paravita Prabhu has also some performance. Yours at 6:30. Isn't the arti at 6:30? Is the arti at 7? It says there on that paper, huh? Okay. And this is supposed to go till the till four? It till four. And what happens at four? Say it, Shamananda. Yeah, but it's now at five, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Then at 5:30, if the weather was sunny,
yeah.
The procession.
Right. So it looks to me that the Bharat Natyam should be before the darshan. That's what it looks like to me. Who is doing the Bharat Natyam? No, then we need 15 minutes maybe to get. Who's doing the. Is it from Czech? Where is. Huh? Where are they? Maybe tell them if they could perform it in 15 minutes. The deity should be open? Are you sure? Because they that's the meaning of the dance. Well, but yeah. Well, the time schedules are also like that, and then you just don't do any save up. Yeah. So it looks to me that huh? Or you want to do it before? Yeah, it's possible. Huh? You can do before the darsha? It's how much time we. Oh, here's a manager. We're bewildered because the schedule is such that if we just go on with kata till 5,
yeah.
Then the artist will not have time to perform.
Why not? 5 o'clock? It's anyway scheduled.
Well, what he just. There's a darshan at 5 o'clock, and then. We just go.
We would play the greeting song, and then everybody sits down, and the dance will take place.
Okay.
Because we decided to skip the first greeting at 4 because you are now absorbed in the singing kata.
Uh huh. So we have 45 minutes to fill. That's a lot of time. Ach so. No, we can. We can. Not really. Not really. We can fill it also. Yes, I've understood. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, there's a few options. Krishna Kshetra, what do you think? We can take a little break. And Satchinandan Swami is coming. So then everything is. No, but that then it's. He can fill whatever time and then we take a little break. So then everything is fine.
If you want to stop 15 minutes and Haribida Prabhu is ready.
Yeah, okay.
He takes a shower and he comes back, he's ready
to. Okay, well, we are happy to welcome Satchinandan Maharaj, who came back in 20 minutes of Brahma. And is ready with his smile and all his notes and everything. I'm sure that everything will be fine.
I'm very sorry, but it's festival time. Hare Krishna. Yes. Could we maybe open the windows?
Maybe I can step up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Please, please. Oh, if you need to go to take care of yourself or rest, or please do. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Should we all stand up for a minute? Please stretch. And then it's good if you bend forward. And then you bend backwards, and then you're right. Oh. Krishna. Sit down. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nisinga Hare, Nisinga Hare, Jaya Palad Nisinga, Palad Nisinga, Palad Nisinga, Jaya Palad Nisinga. Go, Premanandi, Hari 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 Hari, go.
Today, in this Nishinga Katha, I would like to give a little presentation, not a long presentation, about one Bhakta's evolution in his appreciation of Lord Nrisimhadev. This Bhakta is only a Bhakta Praya, a shadow of a devotee. His name is Sachinandan Swami. It was in 1976 when we followed from Germany an invitation of Srila Prabhupada to preach in India with a bus program. We had mobilized two buses, one was a Mercedes bus and another an MRN bus, and we went there to India for a simple program of chanting Harinam and distributing prasadam. Prabhupada had called this party the World Nitai Gaur World Traveling Sankirtan Party. And now, on our way from India back to Europe, we stayed in Kabul And we had always heard that Srila Prabhupada liked when his devotees were taking risks in spreading Krishna consciousness. So we saw if we could open a temple in Kabul, and lo and behold, somehow the Hindu minority of Kabul gave us use of their temple. It's called the Asamai Mandir, in the town of Kabul, called some part of Kabul. And there, the little Hindu children would go to the Asamai Mandir for day schooling. So because we wanted to preach, and in the time when we were preaching, we were really very, very enthusiastic, we announced ourselves as perfect English teacher. I still speak so bad English. But English teacher, and Shitakara was the painting teacher, you know. So we gave lessons to children in English. I taught them the Bhagavad Gita in English. And Shitakara requested everyone to paint pictures of Krishna. That was our school program. And somehow, because we were Europeans and we looked a little educated, the eyes of the people who lived there, we were accepted as teachers, and we soon had a flourishing preaching program going on. In the morning we would teach the children. In the afternoon, I would try to meet people from the university. And in the evening, we announced ourselves as the best singer of Europe. And we were often invited, we had an ad in the newspapers, for marriage ceremonies. So before each marriage ceremony, there were like 600 people there, we would sing, and I think you can understand what we were singing. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, of course. And this carried on quite nicely until we went deep into the Ramadan. Do you know what a Ramadan is? It's trouble. It's the Muslim fast day, or fast months. They have to fast from sunrise to sunset, just like you're doing today. And then at sunset, there is usually a cannon which shoots a cannonball over Kabul, and then when you hear this, you know, I can eat. Now, because then they eat so much meat and so much hummel, you know, sheep, and so they have a very bad night. They wake up very frustrated in the morning with constipation, and then they have to keep the whole day somehow tolerate the intolerable headaches until finally in the evening again there's eating. So in the midst of all this, there were Chitakara and myself preaching up a storm in Kabul. The reaction was foreseeable. The Muslims became very agitated, especially when we sang Hare Krishna before their marriages for 2 weeks, and they started to they gave us a warning. We ignored the warning, and then we noticed we were always followed by people. Now, after some time, because I had read about this in literature, I understood these are my assassinators, the people sent out to kill. And one night, one morning, I had to go very early to the bathroom that was outside, and I went over the court, and all of a sudden I saw these three people as I was just near the wall, doing what you do near the wall. And they came towards me with knives. So the moment we had... So it's not that we were entirely unprepared, but when you meet your death, you're always unprepared. So I was just there and I saw them closing in. And, you know, I couldn't run away because I was in the process. By Krishna's arrangement, we had told 1 week before the Hindu minority that we needed a protection, we needed bodyguards. And so when I was just sitting there and thinking, oh my God, what to do now? The first thing was, I called out, we had called the bodyguard, Quasimo! That was the name we gave him because we couldn't speak his Afghanistani name. And then I noticed, now Quasimo can't save you. The next word I chanted, the next name I chanted is Nrsingha. Hare Krishna. Should we chant it? I chant this divine name again. Nrsingha. And then I started to run. I was no longer concerned about cleanliness. I just ran. And I chanted, Quasimo, Nrsingadev, Quasimo, Nrsingadev. Until I finally noted that my faith was very weak in Lord Nrsingadev. I made it to the bus. Quasimo, poor Quasimo, had heard my calling. And he came back half an hour later with blood all over his body. The knives had come into his body and he was breaking down before the bus where we stayed. And we then immediately called the ambulance and they took care of our Quasimo. So this is not the main point. I'm just preparing you for something. Then I noticed, oh my God, Quasimo protected you this one time, but maybe you should develop a relationship to Lord Nrsingadev, and because Quasimo is out now, but the killers are still alive. Then we got a painting of Lord Nrsingadev. I remember Janmanalaya was just on his way through to India, and we asked him to make a pen drawing of Lord Nrsingadev, and we started to worship Lord Nrsingadev every day with prayers for many years. Then, one day, I noticed that something was wrong in my worship. I had done what many immature devotees do at the beginning, that is to think that Lord Nrsingadev is one's own servant. We call out for him in times of danger when we need him. But is this really bhakti? Is this the idea of bhakti that we make the Lord our servant? Of course not. And then a long journey started, which came to an end before a very, very nice temple in Navadvip. A preliminary end, I would say. In this temple in Navadvip, Lord Nrsingadev is worshipped since a long, long time. He is a self-manifested deity. That means no person has carved him out of stone. He has manifested from the stone, almost like the deity of Radha Raman, who manifested from three Shalagram Shilas. This deity was left there after Lord Nrsingadev had visited Navadvip. See, when Lord Nrsingadev was done with Hiranyakashipu, and when he had heard the prayers of Prahlad and the Devatas, then he went back to his abode in the Vaikuntha worlds, and as he was going and more or less flying over Navadvip, he could see this is the place where in the future my Lord Gauranga will appear. So honoring this divine dam, he went down and took a rest and bathed himself in a beautiful lake. And when he put up his camp, so to say, there, the higher beings, the devatas, also came there in little houses and stayed around where Lord Nrsingadev stayed. So then Lord Nrsingadev left that place, but in his stead, he left this self-manifested deity, a wonderful black stone-carved Lord Nrsingadev. And there I stayed and listened to the lectures which were given in Navadvip, on Navadvip Parikrama. And it was very, very nice. I listened to a lecture, I believe, of Lokanath Swami, who read something which I'm going to read to all of you if you don't fall asleep. It is a wonderful part which I feel is very, very important to study. Oh, well, I have all the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kirti Charan, Rama Charan, Nrsingha Kavachar. Please just hold on. Lokanath Maharaj wrote from a work of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur composed for those who wish to make a Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. Who of you has been on Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, please? Oh, a good number of devotees. Who of you intends to go and has not yet gone? You must go. It is very important. And in this book, Navadvip Bhavataranga is it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes his own parikram through the 9 islands of Navadvip and what he experiences in the 9 islands. Now, we won't go through all of this, but he describes very lovingly what he experiences when he comes to this deity, which I have just described to you, the self-manifested deity of Lord Nrsingadev. And I really find for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose sadhya means the aim of their practice is to achieve a love of Godhead, or more specific, love to Radha and Krishna, it's very important to get it clear how, what role does Lord Nrsingadev play in this endeavor to reach the eternal spiritual world. Do you sometimes think of going back to Godhead? Yeah, it is sometimes there. Do you do something to reach your goal? Do you make like travel preparations? So on. You should. This is why you do sadhana. So here he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, what happens when one comes before Nrsingadev? Lord Nrsingadev will say, dear child, sit down freely and live happily here in Sri Gauranga Dham. May you nicely worship the divine couple and may you develop loving attachment for their holy names. The Lord Nrsingadev blesses us to worship Radha and Krishna nicely and blesses us also to develop what? Attachment for what? For the holy names. By the mercy, says Lord Nrsingadev, by the mercy of my devotees, all obstacles are cast far away.
It's amazing. Lord Nrisimhadev doesn't say, I will take your obstacles away. He says, I will work through my devotees to take care that your obstacles go away. With a purified heart, just perform the worship of Radha and Krishna, for such worship overflows with sweet nectar. So when Lord Nrisimhadev says this to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, let me summarize, he should be very much at ease, no worries. He should worship Radha and Krishna. Lord Nrisimhadev will help the devotee to worship Radha and Krishna by giving him the attachment to the holy name and working through his devotees to bring the obstacles away. After Lord Nrisimhadev has said this, a bully means after he has said this, he laughs and places his own divine lotus feet upon Bhaktivinoda Thakur's head. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says what he experiences being blessed by Lord Nrisimhadev. Wouldn't it be nice to have the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadev on our head? must be ecstatic. He says, after this, after I've been touched by Lord Nrisimhadev's mercy, ping, suddenly I will experience sublime love for the divine couple Radha Krishna and undergo the ecstatic transformations called Sattvika Bhava. Falling on the ground, I will roll about by the door of Sri Nrisimha's temple. I would, if Ina Sharana, who's a representative of the GBC, wouldn't be here next to me, I would now ask you to all roll before the temple of Lord Nrisimhadev. But I'm afraid to do this, so I will not do it. Hare Krishna. No, I'm joking. So, if you want to go somewhere, my dear devotees, you absolutely need to be clear what is the place you want to reach, and then you need to choose the right road to reach there. You may have the best desire to come to Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu and myself will try to drive to Radhadesh tomorrow. We are still very enthusiastic. But even our best endeavors, if we take the wrong road in the direction of Croatia, we will never get to Radhadesh. Although Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu is a guru, it will not happen. Hare Krishna. If you want to reach Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, you similarly need to know what is your road, what do you do. And Lord Nrisimhadev, as we hear here, is very important to reach that goal by giving you a taste in the holy name and by also removing what is in your heart and what is there as an obstacle, an anatta. Without getting rid of the anattas, the roadblocks which are there in a devotee's life, progress will not happen. So, on this Nrisimha Chaturdasi, I really request you to approach Lord Nrisimhadev with a sincere prayer, which I will read to you, a prayer which will where you invite Lord Nrisimhadev to perform an open heart surgery, that is to remove the anattas or roadblocks from the heart. There is a very nice prayer. Thank you very much. Which I would like to first read to you in English, and then after we have understood what it says, I would suggest that we sincerely pray it in the Sanskrit language. Would you like to hear it in English?
good.
This is now serious, because if we can pray this prayer on this appearance day, miracles can be expected. Miracles. It's, Prabhupada says in his purport, any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Narsingadev as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. It's very, very rare that Srila Prabhupada, not very rare, but it is not so often that Prabhupada is so extremely specific about prayers, which prayer should be offered. Here he is very, very specific. If you want to be free from these roadblocks, these wrong desires, which pull you in the wrong direction, you must offer respectful prayers to Lord Narsingadev, as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. Just to tune you in before we hear it, Radhanath Maharaj gave a wonderful lecture in New Vrindavan where he said that somehow by Maya's arrangement, we always postpone our surrender. Do you know what the mean? What the word postpone means? It's another English word is procrastinate, or to speak it, because some of us are having foreign languages. Postpone means you put it up to tomorrow. Not today I will surrender. Maybe tomorrow, or most realistically when I'm a little older. You know. But mañana is the best word in Latin America. So this is tomorrow. But the moment you do this to God, that is not today, but maybe tomorrow or later, Krishna will recede a little, or he's not so interested. It's just like when I want to visit you and you say, not today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after tomorrow, then I feel discouraged. Oh, he doesn't, I'm not really welcome here. Now maybe I should go somewhere else. So, what is the reason why we are so weak-hearted and faint-hearted and pale-hearted? And it's because material desires pull us in one direction. And how can you reach what is in the east when you take the road which leads you to the west? No? How can you reach Krishna if you take the roads of sense gratification or materialistic life? That won't help the material desires. So we need help to get rid of them in a nice way. So any devotee aspiring to be free of these material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Narsingadev as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. Now let us hear the prayer. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Narsingadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish, means like take away, our demon-like desires for material sense gratification in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Oh, so the devotee prays that Lord Narsingadev may kindly appear again in his own heart and take these material desires away from his heart, which are killing him. The devotee knows, I'm attached to alcohol, but I don't want it. It kills me. Take it away, please. Oh, in this way, he says, I'm attached to my material desires. I'm a lusty sinner. take this away. It just doesn't make me happy. And then please also appear in the heart. And when you appear, be like the light which drives away the darkness. Bring the ignorance out of my heart. So that, I find this very important, so that I may become fearless. Abhayam, on my path where I try to realize Krishna consciousness in the material world. And that's a struggle. Hare Krishna. So, my dear devotees, sit properly. Hare Krishna. Take a moment to be here, really. You are in Lord Narsingadev's temple. You are on his divine appearance day. The Lord is waiting for you to say something to him. And we want to now chant this prayer together, which will help us in our own progress in spiritual life. We will first do it in Sanskrit and then again in an English translation. So, I will give you a sign when you should chant. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Namaste jaste jase. Namaste jaste jase. Avir arvir bhava.
Avir arvir bhava.
Vajanaka.
Vajanaka.
Vajadangstra.
Vajadangstra.
Kamashayam.
Kamashayam.
Randaya randaya,
randaya randaya,
tamo grasa, grasa om swaha, abhayam abhayam, atmani, bhuyeshta, om. Now we will do something which is advised in the Narasimha Kavacha. There it said, before you start praying, you are inviting the Lord who has a golden form into your heart, and then pray to him as he is situated in the heart. Please now, for a moment, see, try to have a picture of Lord Narasimhadev somehow in you. You may close your eyes and then repeat after me. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Narasimhadev.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Narasimhadev.
The source of all power.
The source of all power.
O my Lord.
O my Lord.
Who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts.
Who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts.
Kindly vanquish our material desires for sense gratification in this because this is the most important part. We'll say it again. Kindly vanquish our material desires for sense gratification.
Kindly vanquish our material desires for sense gratification.
Please appear in our hearts.
Please appear in our hearts.
And drive away our ignorance.
And drive away our ignorance.
So that by your mercy.
So that by your mercy.
We may become fearless.
We may become fearless.
In the struggle for existence
in the struggle for existence
in this material world.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
If you want to learn this verse by heart, it's in the 5th canto, chapter 18, text number 8. Many devotees have chanted this verse in the old time, and many devotees have seen miracles in their life. If your ignorance and your particular material attachment keeps on sticking to you like old chewing gum, and you just can't get it rid, can't get it off, you have to chant this regularly for some time. Best is before a picture of Lord Nrsimhadev, so that you can come into the presence, or you can also have a little Nrsimhadev deity like the one which our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj has told us, or a photograph, or something. So I thank you very, very much. As Kadamba Kanana Maharaj has said, I have about 50 pages of notes. We could go now on, but I will stop here. Hare Krishna. Because time is also there. You had a lot of festival activities. You might now like to walk a little, to talk a little. Oh, there is a darshan at 5 o'clock. Oh yeah, wonderful. Then we just have the darshan, and after the darshan, everything else. Is it okay? Jaya Nrsimha Dev, Jaya Nrsimha Dev, Jaya Nrsimha Dev, Jaya Nrsimha Dev. Nrsimha Dev Jaya, Nrsimha Dev Jaya, Nrsimha Dev Jaya, Nrsimha Dev. Maybe someone can go to the pujaris and say, we are on time, what is their situation? Yes? Okay.
Maybe yes, somebody can.
Hare, 10 more minutes. Please tell me very honestly, what should we do? Should we do kirtan, or maybe should we do a little pause for 10 minutes? I also feel pause is good, yes. 5 minutes pause. Oxygen break, yes. Is a very. It will be 20 minutes, yes. So make your break. You all look a little tired, I can see. Very, yeah.